You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here, ready to go on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, Peter King. He'll join us coming up. Got a lot of questions for Peter. The SEC Commissioner, Greg Sankey, will join us coming up as well. Got a lot of questions for the Commissioner. I got a lot of questions today. Hopefully we'll find some answers. We were just discussing quarterback stats prior to the start of the show. If I said, how many touchdown passes did Patrick Mahomes throw last season during the regular season? He played 14 games. 2 years ago, he threw 50 touchdown passes. How many touchdown passes did Patrick Mahomes throw in 14 games? He got injured. He threw 26 touchdown passes in 14 games. So you start to look at these numbers, and then we have an image, an impression, and Lamar Jackson led the league in touchdown passes last year. Not yardage, but yardage is overrated because, as I've mentioned a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, the top five yardage guys last year didn't make the playoffs. But Lamar Jackson put up like a Johnny Manziel SEC season. He had 1,200 yards, 36 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. But what happens is you have the big leap, the big year, and then you come back down to earth. You know, Mahomes throwing 50, and I think we had a question, the over-under for Mahomes for last season. Paulie, how many do we have, like 35?
35 and a half. We set it mid-August last year.
Okay. If I said Lamar Jackson, he's not going to throw 36. I think we had Lamar Jackson at like 19 and a half last year.
That's exactly right, going into the season. And a couple of us took the under.
Yeah. But Lamar Jackson, I'm looking at the MVP odds for this upcoming season. It's Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Then it's Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray. But Mahomes winning the Super Bowl, he was great in the playoffs. But we don't look at his regular season as a disappointment, but it was based on what he did the previous season. But when you win a Super Bowl, who cares about the regular season? Lamar Jackson didn't do well in the playoffs, so we focus on what he did during the regular season. It feels like he's going to cool off. Is he going to rush for, okay, if I said more likely to get 36 touchdowns or 1,200 yards rushing, what's more likely to happen? I guess I would go with 36 touchdowns. I just don't know if you're going to have him rush for 1,200 yards again. And leagues, you know, it doesn't take long for them to at least understand what they need to do to slow you down. Remember Cam Newton's rookie season? Might be the best rookie season a quarterback's ever had. And then that second year, he came back down to earth. Is Lamar Jackson going to come back down to earth? Patrick Mahomes came back to earth. Dak Prescott. I'm surprised Dak is that high for the MVP race. So you've got Mahomes, and then it's Lamar Jackson, and then Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and Tom Brady all the same. Kyler Murray's up there pretty high and quietly had a pretty good season, and now you add DeAndre Hopkins there. Josh Allen made a leap up. Josh Allen has better odds to win the MVP than Aaron Rodgers does. Wow. Cam Newton is above Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson and Drew Brees and Baker Mayfield Jr. III for MVP. Going to be an interesting season. Hopefully we have one. All right, so we were just discussing quarterback numbers and how you come back down to earth because we wait for that quarterback to take the next step. You know, is Daniel Jones going to take that next step? Is Dwayne Haskins going to take that next step? That's what you're waiting for. And we don't wait long before we move on to a new quarterback. And that's going to be the case in Cleveland. If Baker Mayfield doesn't have numbers similar to what he had his rookie year, then Cleveland will start to look elsewhere. Because you get that feel. Now, granted, Cleveland's got a new head coach, and he'll want maybe a little bit more time with Baker. But that's a team that should win. He's got weapons. The question is the personalities that you have on offense there. Kyler Murray gets DeAndre Hopkins. Imagine waking up one day and you go, wait, we got who? We gave up who to get who? That's a nice little present for Kyler Murray. We'll talk to Peter King, though, about the season. Is it in jeopardy? Are they going to start on time? I don't know if this is public or not, McLovin, but a source told me last night, almost in passing, we were talking about a variety of things with the upcoming season. And my source said, because I talked about the preseason, and I said, do we really need two games? And my source said, well, there's only going to be one preseason game. Have you seen anything on this? I think it's officially at two preseason games. I was told last night there would be one preseason game for the teams.
But just literally minutes ago, PFT has something about maybe being one preseason game, but they don't have anything. PFT Pro Football Talk.
Yeah.
This morning said maybe there will be one instead of two, but they didn't have anything specific.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was
That's just literally like since the show started.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because as I told you guys before the start of the show, in passing, you know, my source said, yeah, but there's only going to be one preseason game. So nothing official, but I think that's where we are now. I think we're going to have inter-squad games, which makes sense, but just testing how often you're going to test. And you kind of had this preemptive strike with some of the marquee players yesterday on a Sunday afternoon, knowing that Monday would bring about all of this talk with these players talking about their safety going into the upcoming season. J.J. Watt, you had Russell Wilson talking about this. Yes, McLovin.
Wasn't part of the reason behind two games so each team could get a home game to see how the protocols would go? It feels like a big ask to do week one and have it all figured out. Maybe preseason could help make things safer in a way.
I'm not sure, and that's why I want to have Peter on, because there are a lot of questions here. And a lot of questions for college football as well. But college football is looking at the NFL and trying to figure out, hey, if they can't do it, we're not going to be able to do that. But it was orchestrated yesterday to send out these, you know, this Twitter blast that Sunday afternoon where these guys were saying, hey, now we're, you know, Patrick Mahomes, hey, we want to know what's going on here. And I think that that's the big concern now, because players are showing up for camp. And from what I was told last night, you know, patience, leverage is patience for the players. So their leverage is to be patient. And I said, I don't know how you can be patient if you're showing up now. You know, leverage is patience, not being a patient. You know, that's the key with these players. Understanding what do they have, what are they walking into, what are the safeguards they have in place. But and then talking to Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, and he's been kind enough to join us kind of throughout this process of everybody is trying to figure this out. And can you have a conference? Could the SEC just say, we're going to play. We're not concerned about the other Power Five conferences. We're going to play. Yeah, but we'll talk to the commissioner coming up. Baseball begins on Thursday night. I watched baseball yesterday, watched the Yankees and the Mets. I watched, you know, the Cubs, White Sox. It was great. I was fine with it. Aaron Judge hit a couple of bombs. Stanton hit a bomb. Yeah, Fritzy.
It was just so eerily quiet that I know you expect that to a certain extent. And then, like, I was watching Yankees Mets, and you got John Sterling doing the game, like, by himself in one corner. Michael Kay didn't have a color person with him. They played the bottom of the ninth to give extra reps to the Mets pitcher. The Yankees were winning 6-0 in the bottom of the ninth, and they still played out the bottom of the ninth. Home runs are being hit, and balls are bouncing through the stands, and no one's there to go pick them up. It was just a lot of strange stuff.
Hey, I was just glad to see baseball. Yeah, I'm not going to nitpick. I just, if they can play and they can, you know, show up and play safely, then great. I'm all for that. But watching it last night, it was good. It was just good to see something that was actually taking place in real time, as opposed to, and let's watch the Cubs and Indians World Series one more time. Yeah, Paul.
I was watching Cubs White Sox, and the cameraman for the TV network on the third base line, he had an itch, and every break he would like reach back and try to scratch his itch, and he'd like the pitcher would get in place. I got transfixed because there's no other background action going on. And behind the batter, this cameraman's just going, scratching his back. I'm like, there's nothing going on in the background.
This program brought to you by LegalZoom. They're not a law firm, but that's a good thing. You don't get charged by the hour. You don't have to leave your home. And if you've been putting off some of the legal challenges, LegalZoom is there to help you. LegalZoom.com for more information. As we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. We say good morning to those watching on YouTube, FoxSportsRadio.com/TheDanPatrickShow. Fox Sports Radio lineup as well. Say good morning to Chat Row. McLovin has the duties of a poll question today. Are you capable of performing such duties?
Yes, I can go to our pre-show conversation, or I can go to the story of the day. Which one would you like first?
What is the story of the day?
Well, which league feels like they're most in control of the situation? NBA, MLB, including the Toronto Blue Jays, or NFL?
The reason why he brings up the Blue Jays is the Blue Jays can't play at home. Like, you know, baseball starts on Thursday. Like, when did they get the news that, hey, you can't, teams can't go into Toronto? They're looking for a home in the United States. I feel like because this is Toronto, people aren't as interested in it. Like if this was the Devil Rays couldn't play in their home ballpark, you know, this might be a bigger deal. But Toronto can't play in Toronto because they're not letting fans or not letting other teams go into Toronto. Now they're looking at playing in Buffalo. Now, granted, you're not going to have fans there anyway, so it's not like you're going to say to a fan base, hey, you can go to the games in Buffalo, or hey, Buffalo, we're coming to town. You know, their minor league affiliate. Crazy. Crazy. Where are we playing? When are we playing? Where am I living? Oh, by the way, where am I living?
Yeah, if you play for the Blue Jays and you're working in Buffalo for a four-day stretch, I mean, is that where you're just going to move for the season?
Yes, Eden.
So it's like all of the other teams were like getting it, like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And Toronto's just there with their hand raised. Like, quick question.
By the way, what's interesting at Wrigley is we're so used to fans throwing a home run ball back when the visiting team hits a home run. So all you're doing is you see these baseballs go into the stands and they rattle around and then they just sit there. It's kind of eerie. What's the other poll question possibility, McLovin?
Well, we have the NFL MVP debate because we were getting into the big question about will Lamar Jackson take a step back this year before
okay.
the show.
All right. Do you know the only quarterback ever with 40 or more touchdown passes in consecutive seasons? I'm going to give everybody a guess here. I'm not even going to give you the year. The only quarterback ever with 40 or more touchdown passes in consecutive seasons. Paulie?
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning is your guess. It's an obvious guess. McLovin.
Since you're going not obvious, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner. Fritzy.
I was going to say Kurt Warner as well.
Seton O'Connor.
Well, I was going to say Peyton Manning, but I'll go Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is a winner.
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
Yes. Drew Brees. 2011, 2012, the only quarterback ever to have 40 or more touchdown passes in consecutive seasons.
All right, see you guys later.
See you tomorrow.
I'm done.
See you tomorrow, Seton. Well done there. Well done. Yeah, McLovin.
That's unbelievable to me that no one's ever done that back-to-back. I feel like great quarterbacks get 40 TDs all the time.
You would think, but Ethan, my stats guy, just sent me that.
I'm still in shock that Patrick Mahomes only had 26 touchdowns. Does Ethan confirm this?
I can ask him. I think it's easily available. I don't know. Need to go to Ethan for that. But, yeah, we think of Patrick Mahomes as he's going to put up 40 touchdown passes every year. So you go from 50 to 26. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes' three-year average is weird because year one he had zero, then he had 50, then he had 26.
Yeah. Dak Prescott pretty high up on the MVP list. That feels like Vegas is trolling Cowboy fans to get involved in that with Dak Prescott. But, you know, when you start to think about it, no sports offseason gets more attention than the NFL. So fans pour over every aspect of the draft and free agency, rule changes. You have the schedule release. And now training camp is starting, and it's confusing because the league, I don't think, has done a very good job communicating exactly how they're going to pull this off. Feels like you're going to go in and you may have some collateral damage here. But this coordinated Twitter campaign to emphasize safety on Sunday They want to play, but they want to know how the NFL is going to keep them safe. And, you know, the league faces an enormous challenge because you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars at stake here. NBA teams have to worry about a dozen players. Football teams, you're looking at 100 player personnel involved in this. So you have to have coordination. Everybody has to be vigilant. And you got to have a little bit of luck. And you might have to have a lot of luck there. And the NFL had more time than any other league. But it is running out. And hopefully they got a solid plan. It's just not that easy. Because limited information, we're going to see how they navigate this coming up. But we'll talk to Peter King about that. And was this a coordinated Twitter explosion that some of these players had, you know, on Sunday with these rookies showing up this week and some of the other marquee players? There were a couple of players who didn't get involved in this because they have been holding workouts. And your state may allow you to hold a workout like Tom Brady with the Buccaneers, but your league told these players, it's not a good look. Stop doing this. And Brady didn't send out a tweet yesterday. I think a couple of these players have been working out with a little larger group, which may, you know, state by state be allowable. But the NFL did come out and say, don't do it. We don't want you doing it anymore. All right, we'll take a break. And what's the poll question we're going to settle
on? How about, it's the Texans and Chiefs report today, the rookies. How about, will the Texans-Chiefs game on September 10th happen? Yes or no? Just for hour one. Do you think people are optimistic that the season will start on time?
Sure. All right. I can do that.
I know your plan to lop off the first four games is in my head.
It's not what I want. I'm just looking at this realistically and saying, I get the feeling that they're going to push this back a little bit. I think college football is going to push back just a little bit here. Baseball, it's starting Thursday. The NBA is going to be starting. Do you realize what's in store for the next 6 months? If we have games, and I don't know if we start, we stop, we restart again, but over the next 6 months is going to be a windfall that we've never experienced before. Now, in theory, yes, McClellan.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Although I keep saying yeah, Paulie's like, yeah, usually in July there's no sports going on. Now we're going to have a windfall. I'm like, yeah, baseball's always going on in July. We just don't pay attention until October.
Yeah, we don't want baseball in July. Now we can't wait for baseball in July.
By the way, you were officially the only one who knew a Blue Jay. I looked at their depth chart.
Paulie goes, Joey Bats. And I go, I don't think he plays baseball anymore.
But you're not sure.
Paul Molitor.
Well, he doesn't play for the Blue Jays.
I'm going to check.
Yeah. I don't think the location of Blue Jays is going to affect the competitive balance. That is a young, bad baseball team from everything I'm looking at.
All right, 19 after the hour, Peter King will join us. Your phone call is always welcome every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. Take a break, 20 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. I've teamed up with Full Sail University to launch the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, an accelerated bachelor's degree designed to teach you every aspect of sportscasting, from being in front of the camera, behind the camera, podcasting, radio, and everything in between. And yes, your degree is in sportscasting. There's a lot of things to love about Full Sail, their approach to education. We wanted hands-on learning. You were able to learn from people who have been in the business, real-world experience to prepare you for what life is actually like in the industry here. And we brought in some of the best people in the business. People have been at ESPN, other networks, who know exactly what this is all about, what the landscape is all about. At Full Sail, you can earn your bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months. You can choose to earn your degree online or Full Sail's campus in Orlando, Florida. Learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. The all-new GT four-door coupe, because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any of our celebrity interviews, this week or any week from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to the Dan Patrick Show app or danpatrick.com, where you can watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG driving performance. He's the popular Peter King, NBCSports.com, NFL columnist, football morning in America, back from a lengthy vacation and ready to dive into all the topics here today. Good morning, Pete. How confident are you this season is going to start on time?
I think the season is likely to start on time, Dan. The question is, will it finish? And will it play without being interrupted? And, you know, I think one of the biggest issues the NFL faces is even though they're going to lead the world in contact tracing, Dan, I had a tour of the Minnesota Vikings facility on Friday, and it was totally fascinating. I could tell you 40 stories, but one of them I thought was really interesting. After you take your COVID test, after you get your temperature taken, after you fill out your form on your phone that says you are not you're not warm, you haven't been out of the country or anything like that, you are going to be given basically a little fob. And that fob is going, you're going to wear all day. You wear it on your wrist. You can wear it in your pads. You can put it in your pocket. And that little fob is basically going to be the physical distancing measuring device that anybody else you come in contact with that day who also is going to have a fob, they're going to know, hey, you're within 2 feet of Kirk Cousins now. So if you do test positive, then – you know, they know that they have to also check out Kirk Cousins to make sure he doesn't have it. But the big question is, so what happens if you go through a day? There's not going to be instant testing, Dan. What happens if you go through a day and you go through practice and, you know, you have your hands on, you're a center, you have your hands on defensive guys, you're in a huddle, you're around a lot of players. So what's the NFL going to do then? That is going to be a huge issue as to whether the season can be played in its entirety and in some week, whether, you know, some team doesn't get six positive tests on the offensive line.
What you were talking about, is that just a Viking-only procedure? Or
no, all 32 teams are going to – this is going to be uniform with all 32 teams. Every one of the every one of the players on the team and every one of 100 team officials who are going to be in contact, like coaching staff, trainers, equipment people, the GM, every one of those 100 people who can be in contact with the players, you know, they're all going to wear these fobs during the day. So they'll have them on them at all times.
You had a orchestrated players' Twitter attack yesterday on the NFL with their safety guidelines. But judging from what you're telling me, I mean, these are pretty good safety precautions, advanced safety precautions. What are the players complaining the most about here?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. The players, Richard Sherman told me stridently over the weekend that they want to have daily testing. And Dan, it's a very simple reason. At first I said, daily testing, man, that's too much. Here is the issue with not testing daily. You're not going to get instant results with your tests. So let's say that you're tested three times a week. You're tested Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. You could pick any days, okay? But let's say you're tested three times a week. And let's say on Wednesday you test, okay? You're going to go through your day most likely without having any idea whether you've tested positive or negative. So now, you know, you might get the results back on Thursday, okay? But you've already had that period on Wednesday where you're around your team. And now because Thursday and Friday, there's no testing, how do your teammates, people who've been around you, maybe been in the huddle with you, they're not getting tested till Saturday? I mean, if nine of them test positive on Saturday, you might not have a game on Sunday. So I think players definitively want to have testing daily. And I don't know if the NFL is going to agree to that. I think that they might agree to it for a period of time, but I don't know if they're going to agree to it for a full season.
He's Peter King, and his column is Football Morning in America, released earlier today. Is the NFL planning on having fans?
I think if they can, Dan, but I think it'd be foolish now to think you can have fans in a place like Tampa or Miami or Arizona. I think it's going to be a case-by-case basis. And I do think that some teams at some point this year are going to admit fans socially distanced and, you know, having the stadium experience being totally different, not being allowed to tailgate, things like that. But, yeah, at some point this year, I do think some teams will allow a percentage of their stadium to take on fans.
So you think this will be almost like state by state with governors? This is going to be team by team that the commissioner is going to let you decide if you're going to have?
Probably.
Okay.
I think probably because, look, it seems kind of totally unfair. Let's just say that if in the state of Wisconsin, you're doing great on testing and you've gone, 17 days without a death due to coronavirus in Wisconsin and your schools are open and everything, why do the Packers have to play with no fans there? Just because there's a big outbreak in Houston, the Packers can't play with fans?
Yeah.
Dan, I wrote this a few months ago. I said, everybody who's connected in any way with the NFL needs to get ready for a season of inconvenience and, quite frankly, unfairness. Okay. Now, if a situation like with the Blue Jays happened, where a team couldn't play at home, the NFL's not canceling the season. Baseball's not canceling the season. They're telling the Blue Jays, find a place to play. So maybe they'll play in Buffalo. Maybe they'll play in Dunedin. Maybe they'll play in some other team stadium. I don't know. The point to make is that these are unusual times. And I don't think you can have a one-size-fits-all rule on things like fans.
I think it's just a coincidence, but I'm a little suspicious that you went on vacation and didn't have to deal with the Dak Prescott contract negotiations.
Thank God.
The most talked about NFL story in decades here. And here we are with a franchise tag. And we always want to look at who won and who lost. And I don't know what to think anymore about this situation here. Does Jerry like Dak but not love Dak? Did Dak overplay his hand? So now that you have come back to join us here, what do you take away from this Dak Prescott situation in Dallas?
The Cowboys blew it. The Cowboys should have signed Dak Prescott to a long-term contract a year and a half ago. And Dan, I want you to look at the history of quarterback negotiations. When has the price for a quarterback ever gone down? The Dallas Cowboys blew a chance to get Dak Prescott at his cheapest last offseason.
Yeah.
And they're going to pay the price for it. Now, the real big question, I didn't write about this today because I only had 13,000 words. But the real big question to me about the Dak Prescott thing is what happens next year if the salary cap, if the NFL forces all the teams in the league to take their medicine on the cap next year and the cap goes down to 125, let's say. The Cowboys might have to just say, we got to cut bait with Dak. We got to field a team. We can't cut 15 players who are all making significant money. So they might have to get rid of him after this year. Now, I don't think they will, but this is why, and I said it at the time, and I've read everybody saying, oh, my God, don't sign a 12-year contract or whatever. But to me, Patrick Mahomes, there was a little bit of Tom Brady in what Patrick Mahomes did, in that he gave the Kansas City Chiefs the advantage of the next 2 years keeping the core intact by having a $5 million cap number this year and a $24 million or whatever it is next year. What he has done, rather than be the pig at the trough, and take a huge amount of money this year, next year, early on in the contract, He'll get paid in a big way later. The Kansas City Chiefs are not cutting Patrick Mahomes. And so basically the Chiefs, I think, did a very smart thing. For the first 7 years of his contract, it averages about $36 million. And you say, oh, my God, that's a lot of money. No, it isn't. Mm-mm. It's very reasonable for the best player in football. And that's a good contract for Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, and a good contract for the Chiefs.
Any response from the NFL on the Washington Post story?
Well, you know, the NFL basically is going to let the investigation by the Washington law firm take place and then react to it. Dan, you know, Dan Snyder's got to go, period. There is no there's no way he should be an NFL owner.
But how does that happen, though, Peter?
It's not going to happen. I'm saying, in my opinion, Dan Snyder's got to go. He has to go. And, you know, that wasn't two or three instances of sexual harassment. That was 17. And, you know, that plus, you know, how about, you know, this is a, this really galled me. Okay. I wrote about it today. How about in his release, in the organization's release, when they say, we're going to look into, you know, the team nickname. We're going to look into it. So the only word in that release that was used more than the word the was Redskins.
Yeah.
And that is a guy who's saying, okay, I know I got to change the name, but up yours. I mean, you know, it's time for him to go. He's got to go.
But also,
and
Peter,
yet he hasn't done a Donald Sterling thing, so he probably won't go.
But if you go back to that memo, he started with sponsors. Like he wanted to reach out to the sponsors, community, and fans, like in that order. So you know that this was about the bottom line with money. I'm losing sponsors. Don't want to lose them. You know, the heck with the community and the fans.
Nike and FedEx forced Dan Snyder to transfer to the right side of history. And I would bet you give him sodium pentothal right now. And you ask him, do you want to change the name? He doesn't want to change the name.
No.
Come on.
No.
And so, I mean, he just, you know, Dan Snyder is a bad owner who, unfortunately, you know, I remember, as I wrote today, I remember when this team was relevant and this team was fun and RFK Stadium rocked and shook when they had a competent ownership and management team. Jack Kent Cook was a weird guy, but he was a competent owner. And now they don't have one. And if you don't have a competent owner in the NFL, you are in trouble. And that's why I'm exaggerating. My heart goes out to COVID patients, but my heart sort of goes out to Washington fans too, because their owner stinks.
How can the NFL get him out of there? Does any, who has the power to say to Dan Snyder, you must
sell? They don't. Okay. I mean, I don't see how you get him out. You know, he has the ability to stay as the owner of this team, unless he does something either illegal or whatever. Now, maybe the investigation of his organization is going to find other wrongdoing. I don't know.
You had Adam Silver who got rid of Donald Sterling.
He got rid of Donald Sterling, but, you know, is Donald Sterling, has Daniel Snyder done a Donald Sterling? He was at the helm of a place that had 17 cases of accused sexual harassment inside his organization. Okay, so the question is that enough to wrest control of a franchise?
Well, Jerry Richardson, I mean, with the Panthers, is that similar?
Well, with the Panthers, you know, it is similar for sure. But, you know, Daniel Snyder didn't do personally what Jerry Richardson did. That's the issue.
Good to talk to you, Pete. Glad you're back. Ready to go.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Really appreciate it.
That's Peter King, NBCSports.com, Football Morning in America. We'll take a break. We got our play of the day up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
It's tough start for a Monday.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. He's already got his jacket on. He wants to be on TV. You know, so I put Mario and Marvin. I give him little segments here. And I think Mario is worried about how he looks on TV instead of just doing the day-to-day things. Yeah, see.
I give him credit, though, for getting up back on that bicycle after the disaster his email segment was last week.
So. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Because he gets done. He goes, how did I do? And I go, yeah, all right. Well, we're working on it. It's a work in progress there. Oh, he's so proud when he gets on TV. So that, you know, it's about content. He goes, even if I'm bad, that's content. I go, you're right. Good content then. You did. Great job. All right. We got our poll question. And the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, will join us coming up top of the hour. Baseball begins on Thursday night. Got the Nationals in action. Yankees in action. Dodgers in action. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yes, McLovin.
Okay, the Phillies have to face the Yankees, I think, this season. The Yankees are like a current all-star team. I watched the highlights from last night, and everybody's hitting home runs all over the place.
They look like a softball lineup. It just feels like 1 through 9, they can take you deep. And then, you know, like, it, oh, by the way, Giancarlo Stanton is in the lineup as well. Now, I'm not a big fan of his and thought it was a disastrous contract when they signed him, but he has that capability hitting 50 home runs. And if Aaron Judge stays healthy, and that's the big key, like, Judge makes it look easy, but it's about being healthy for that team. And you have this sprint. So it's even more important that you stay healthy during this 60-game sprint. Yeah, Paul.
Judge and Stanton, this is a perfect setup. 60 games, that's their normal season. I mean, that's right on pace for what those guys play.
Yeah. He's got to stay healthy there. Got to stay healthy. We were talking about the movie King of Staten Island. It's Pete Davidson movie. And Judd Apatow is the director of that movie. And Seton just got around to watching it. Has anybody else watched the movie? Paulie, Fritzy, Seton, or McLevin now? You know, I liked it, but I didn't like Pete Davidson as much as I liked everybody around him. And I wasn't sure at times, is it a comedy? I didn't know when I was supposed to laugh and when something was serious, because it's basically loosely based, I guess, on his life, maybe not loosely based on his life. I wasn't sure what it wanted to be. Although Bill Burr's great. Marissa Tomei is spectacular as always. And then his friends were really funny.
So that leaves only one person. you're narrowing it down.
But I've watched Pete Davidson stand up and I thought he was really funny. I didn't know what the movie wanted to be. Seton, your thoughts on The King of Staten Island?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. It's weird. Like, there's supposed to be these elements of it that, I don't know if it's humanize him or sort of like tug at your heartstrings a little bit, where you're like, wow, I really feel for this guy. Yeah. But you can't stand him at the same time. You know, where you're like, I don't really feel bad for this guy because he's kind of such a jerk.
And I watched...
It's weird to, like, the sympathetic figure you don't like.
Palm Springs, the Andy Samberg movie... I really wanted to like it. And it's got that Groundhog Day feel where Andy Samberg every day is the same day. He's at a wedding. And so he acts out differently at the wedding. He acts crazy, you know, one night. And then he wakes up the next morning and then it starts all over again. And then he meets a woman. And it was okay. I love Samberg, but I don't know. It was lacking something. And I think it's gotten a lot of great reviews because we don't have many movies that are coming out where you go, wow, I've got a new movie coming out. And I tried it and I was like, okay. I mean, you know, it's 2 hours where you go, okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, Paul.
Have you seen the Andy Samberg movie from about 4 or 5 years ago called Popstar?
No.
It's fantastic. I don't know if I'm on an island here, but I don't want to tell you anything about it.
Mm.
It's there's a lot of shock value to it. I would say fantastic.
Fantastic.
I may be on an island here. Andy Samberg plays a kind of boy band pop star, Justin Timberlake type.
I've heard about it.
Yeah.
But I have not seen that. But I'd like Samberg. And it's one of those where you're rooting for somebody when you're watching. And I just, after a while, you know, I have that when you're watching on your device and you can hit the fast forward like 10 or 15 seconds. And then when you start to do that a little bit and you go, yeah, that's probably saying everything you need to. JK, who's the JK Simmons? He's in it as well. But and then the woman who's in there with Samberg holds her own. She's good. Just the premise of the movie was a little lacking. Yeah, McLovin.
People love this movie.
I know. That's the reason why I watched it. I read a review of it. I go, awesome. I got a movie that is 2 hours. It's mindless, and I should be good. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm going to take the heat off Paulie for his pop star whiff. I did not love Groundhog Day that much, which is the...
Wait, why did Paulie whiff on...
I nailed it.
Well, no. He said, well, thanks for the support, because I also love Popstar, but I didn't raise my hand and support Paulie when you didn't know it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought someone had seen it.
Wait, you don't like Groundhog Day with Bill Murray?
I like Groundhog Day. I don't think it belongs in the canon where it is. And, you know, Palm Springs is a Groundhog Day movie, right?
Yeah. Well, there have been a few movies that are based off the premise of Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'm not sure I liked it as much as everybody else. Is that... I don't know where you stand on
it. I thought it was great. I thought it's one of Bill Murray's best movies. I thought the premise of it, the way he acted. I wasn't big on Andy McDowell as his love interest. I like Andy McDowell, but...
Hour two poll right there. Yeah. Wow.
Pam Anderson would have crushed that.
Probably not the right person. We'll talk to the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey. He'll join us in about 10 minutes from now. Your phone call's coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. Back after this.